And also the people can be doing deeds of the fire, of really negative things, and they until they will be on the threshold of the fire. And all of a sudden, they will turn and offer deeds of people of paradise, and goodness will flow from them. So, I mean, this takes away from us any sense of just absolute, like, think we know, or that we can rely on our deeds. We cannot rely on our deeds, because, you know, we can only rely on Allah. That's the only place we can rely. So, but also, if you think of it, that if you pray, you know, things happen, but the really important thing is what is the meaning of that event. So, to ourselves, it will be revealed often afterwards in our life. Well, we change our own destiny, let's say, by taking a good path, and then things that happen to us in childhood, or things that seemed really negative or heavy or bad, will all of a sudden change, and we'll realize, no, those were the things that brought us to where we are now. So already that, in a sense, is like changing the past. And through our present, not only our present vision, but, you know, our present state will then also reflect back on that. And, you know, if everything is always present, every deed is always present, so we can illumine even our own lives from the past and the lives of others. So, alhamdulillah. And we should just, I mean, our main belief should just be absolutely boundless belief in Allah's mercy, in Allah's boundless mercy. I think, to me, that seems to be the best creed, the best thing to believe in. Of course, Allah's unity, because we can't really believe in Allah's absolute mercy until we believe in Allah's unity, until we believe that Allah is the one who is, you know, pervading all and over all and within all and beyond all. And otherwise we would not think that Allah has the power to be the merciful. Other people live their lives thinking that I'm so terrible that, you know, Allah can never love me, or who really cut off from the truth. So, this is why it was told to the Prophet, you know, to when people would come to him. And this should be the entire path. And whenever each of us represents the path, mercy, said, tell them of my mercy and my forgiveness. This should be the main message that we bring out, you know. Alhamdulillah. Yeah, and that's so, and of course, you know, if you begin applying that, it's not just an abstract thing that, oh, Allah is the all-merciful. No, it's in every moment of our lives, in every event of life. And so what does that mean? It also means that things that we don't see as mercy are merciful. That means that Allah's mercy pervades everything, and that, you know, and that we begin also behaving that way, as though we really rely on Allah's mercy. So, alhamdulillah. Good. And Mevlana, wow. I mean, he, just extraordinary. When you read him, you know, he's beyond time, because you can't think in his own time, when he was beyond his time. He will always be beyond every time, in a sense. He will always go beyond all the borders of what the religion or the society or the psychology or whatever exists at the time. He will always be beyond that and inviting people to go beyond. But it is very interesting how he's come into our own time and been the harbinger. He's like the spring wind, you know, of this great tradition of love and knowledge flowing now into the West. As it says, Islam is the clear water that pours into the vessel. So one has to pay attention to the vessel and what your vessel is. And your vessel is constituted by the, you know, the human beings who are there, and their culture and their assumptions and everything. And of course, it's about transforming the vessel too. The vessel transforms, but you don't want to break the vessel.
Up to here, sir.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Listen to the reed. How it tells a tale, complaining of separation, saying, ever since I was parted from the reed bed, my lament has caused man and woman to moan. I want a bosom torn by severance that I may enfold the pain of love desire. Everyone who is left far from their source wishes back the time when they were united with it. In every company I uttered my wailful notes. I consorted with the unhappy and with them that rejoice. Everyone became my friend from their own opinion. None sought out my secrets from within me. My secret is not far from my complaint, but ear and eye lack the light. Body is not veiled from soul, nor soul from body, yet none is permitted to see the soul. This noise of the reed is fire, it is not wind. Who has not this fire, may they be nothing. This is the fire of love that is in the reed. It is the fervor of love that is in the wine. The reed is the comrade of everyone who has been parted from a friend. Its strains pierced our hearts. Whoever saw a poison, an antidote like the reed? Whoever saw a sympathizer and a longing lover like the reed? The reed tells of the way full of blood and recounts stories of the passion of Majnun. Only to the senseless is this sense confided. The tongue has no customer save the ear. In our woe, the days of life have become untimely. Our days travel hand in hand with burning griefs. If our days are gone, let them go, 'tis no matter. Do thou remain, for none is holy as thou art. Whoever is not a fish becomes sated with his water. Whoever is without daily bread finds the day long. None that is raw understands the state of the ripe. Therefore, my words must be brief. Farewell. He's part of us. I mean, certainly also. I mean, he's very much part of our community too. This community and the Western community. And whoever loves him is he becomes you. You know, that's all it takes. That's what's so great about the love, and that's what he's saying also about the path. It's not Islam, it's Allah. You know, or it's not the form, it's the meaning within, or it's the love. It's really what this path is about. It's about the love. And that's what makes us move and, you know, progress, or sometimes it might not look like progression, but makes us grow and mature and blossom. And then, if we're really fortunate, get destroyed. You know, those are levels of love, though. I mean, we usually just think of the level of love that's the, you know, what makes us healthy and strong and radiant. And all. But then he's obviously also, in many of these poems, talking about the levels that makes you disappear. That's very much Rumi's teaching also, the disappearing, the becoming nothing, the being destroyed. Give me a breast that's shredded by separation. My God, who could pray for that? I mean, how many people, you know, in the history of humanity have prayed for that? To, you know, really just the great friends of God pray for that, because that is the... Well, Fendi said, he said, sometimes the thorn is sweeter than the rose. You know, the pain of love is more dear to the real lovers sometimes than the sweetness of love. Oh, inshallah. We don't know what Allah has prepared for us. But, you know, may we taste all the rainbow of love and the flavors of love. I mean, this love is the master and the mistress. That's why this is called the path of love, because it's only love, really, that can take us on that journey to the source, ultimately. I mean, in the sense of having the source revealed in us and disappearing in the source and then being returned. Only love can do that. Because, of course, everyone, you can say, returns to the source, but they will return in a form, or they will return in the form that they clung to, that they chose, you know, like... And so that will be just a part, a partial, but the real lover gives himself completely and then returns as the beloved desires and becomes nothing so that they can live completely in the beloved. So inshallah, may Allah take us in that way. May the beloved embrace us to that degree. Ameen. And that's just by destiny. But usually if you hang around the lovers, you definitely taste that. I mean, around Musafir Effendi and Noor, it was so burning that you burned. You know, you burned in their burning. So even if you couldn't necessarily on your own, but through there, that's why it's so great to be, you know, in a community of lovers. And inshallah, may Effendi's burning touch us all and burn our own souls. Burning, I want burning. That's Rumi's cry. I want burning. When your appetite is so great that only that satisfies. I've shared this before, but years ago, when we started the world in our circle, and we didn't do it through going to study anywhere, or just did it really through inspiration. And at that, shortly, I mean, after, I had a dream, and in the dream there was a big, zikr, and there were our dervishes whirling in the inside, and there was a kind of circle outside of dervishes holding hand, then inside dervishes whirling, and it was said, as though there were a critique, well, that we hadn't learned this by studying years, the Mevlevi path, or, you know. And it said that these dervishes were whirling, actually, our dervishes were whirling according to the original world of Mevlana, you know. And so even it might not have the appearance of the form that is now accepted as the Mevlevi world, or the, but that they whirl with his spirit. So I think somehow, you know, we don't need the crowns.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's what it means. I mean, this very much touches on my own feeling about the tariqa as it enters the West. You know that many people in Turkey say the level of tariqa is finished. I mean, we're just going to be in the level of hakika. It's interesting from Turkey, which, is, you know, we associate with the more formal, but because they live alongside that, they say that, and these are, you know, mystics who say, contemporary, said this. And I think what they mean by tariqa is maybe the way maybe tariqa has been applied, not the tariqa itself, which is like the grapes on the vine. I don't see that disappearing because that's actually what nourishes the hearts and souls. But rather the way it's been applied, the school, the schooling and the formality of the schooling. And so I do feel that we are coming into a time when things are, you know, moving so rapidly that the normal channels, or that they will move so swiftly, but things cannot be held as they were held before, you know, so that much more widespread. We see it already.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole of America is the best read poet in America, Rumi. So, you know, what does that mean? That means Rumi himself has taken on the teaching of America, you know. And the great saints are already, they are the ones guiding, they always are. But now they become manifest, I think, is the part of the difference. And they're working on a much wider level. They're not just working within the confines of the traditional structures anymore. So this is a challenge to the traditional structures, very much, you know, And that's part of what, you know, we're feeling, and inshallah, what it's like driving a raft through rapids, you know, and how, but inshallah, I trust that we are being guided, we will be guided, inshallah, may Allah guide us even better than Allah has guided us up to now, even better than before, and guide all of us all together and all human beings. But, so that made me think, again, of these crowns, you know. And it doesn't mean that the crown will not appear, and but it won't be, just, they're manifesting differently. And no, people will be crowned who one never thought. It's, you know, Effendi, when he came, it's very interesting, the stories he was telling were very much the stories about the drunken person who, you know, about the sheikh traveling and coming to the party of drunkards, and then the sheikh asking one of the drunkards, who seemed to be even more outlandish than the others, and asking that one to get on the back of his sheepskin, and then they sailed across, you know, the lake, and then all the dervishes said, well, what, you know, how could he do that? And then he said, well, he had faith in me, you know. And stories like this, which were interesting, very much, I think, for the West, and that that it's really the faith in the heart, it's really the love in the heart that is, that will, you know, bring the person to the truth. And it's not so much following these, you know, forms. I mean, I think we not that the forms themselves, the forms, of course, are the sacred form of standing before Allah, the sacred form of prostrating to Allah, the sacred form of reciting Quran, these are all, but not to get mesmerized by that, to go deeper into the heart of what it really is. I think that's true. That's, I mean, I made a little metaphor of Salat, but that can be true on every level. And people are thirsty, and people are hungry, and people are realizing things without, by the time they come into Tariqa, this is from another dream, they come in already almost, sometimes some come in on the Haqiqah level, you know, and so, they come in at least opened. And this was another interesting dream, again from some years back, but, and it said that in Turkey, meaning kind of more traditionally in the past, people came to the tariqa and needed to be opened to, you know, the level of haq in the heart. And it said here, the dream said, people already come on that level. They come with the heart open because the mystic knowledge is already nourishing people, opening people, and it, of course Allah is already opening the heart. So then it was like posed it as a question, what is needed then for the person? You know, if they already come in that level, what do they need? And if, you know, so I don't know. I mean, myself and to myself answered in, with different answers. You know, is it, of course, teaching of the way, teaching of the way and adab. This is something that we don't know so well in our culture. You know, the teaching of adab, and very important for all of us. So. Anyway, this is just to throw out a few of my own experiences and thoughts about this. But, you know, obviously the power of the names of God, of the Salat, of that, you know, shouldn't neglect those. Because then they heighten, they keep us in a heightened state so that when we with through all these life experience, which is moment by moment, we will all the more see clearly, you know, who it is who's giving us this. Because otherwise we can. That's the thing. We, you know, one of the tricks, and Allah says in Quran, you know, that there are many muck, that is the, you know, traps. We can fall into spiritual traps. And one of them that happens on the dervish path is the trap of ease. And so you know, you enter and you, one is
distressed and conflicted and in pain, and then little by little you start tasting ease, and you know, because you have your prayers, your tesbih, you're connected to the silsila, and then all of a sudden you start to feel ease, and then you kind of relax too much. Relaxing too much. And so and then you don't realize it. And then slowly, you know, you get eroded, the foundation underneath that you built or that has been built for you gets eroded. And then all of a sudden you can find yourself adrift again. That's where that spiritual practice comes in, because that is really does what makes the vessel strong, you know. But you never know what's going to happen next. All we can do is the best of what's been given to us to do, the best of what we understand, what has been transmitted, you know. And if we do that, but we never know, you know, where it's going to take us or what's going to happen next. But if we meet that next, if we meet each experience, you know, with Allah and still gratitude. And, you know, Allah has said it's that actually that abundance, ease, again, is more of a veil than difficulty, of course, because when we're in difficulty, well, most of us, you know, turn to Allah. Most of us turn and pray and ask. But then in the state of ease and abundance, and we forget, and subtly forget.